You must find a way to serve. Martin Luther King said that not everybody can be famous, but everybody can be great because greatness is determined by service. Now, we live in a world where everybody wants to be famous and where we admire people for just being famous. We think being known brings us value. The truth is, all of that will fade in time. The real truth is that service and significance, service and the significance that you bring to your service is that which is lasting. So to be able to, whatever your occupation or job or talent or gift is, our honorees today getting doctorate degrees, to apparently opposite fields, HIV and AIDS and the spoken word. But what they have in common is service, using the spoken word in service to community and the world, using your knowledge and information about HIV and AIDS and medicine in service to the world. And if you look at all the most successful people in the world, whether they know it or not, they have that paradigm of service. Everybody's talking about Mark Zuckerberg and IPO. Service. Jay-Z rapping. Service. Through the word, to people, through song. For many years, I was really just happy to be on TV, and people would stop and say, oh, you on TV? Yeah, I'm on TV. I like being on TV. It's a nice job. And it was about the time that I received my honorary doctorate from Spelman around 1993. So I don't know if that had something to do with it. I thought of myself as Dr. Winfrey. That I went back and I took a long look at what it was I was doing on TV and made a decision that I was no longer going to just be on TV, but I was going to use TV as a platform, as a force for good, and not be used by TV. And I will tell you, my decision to make that significant change in the way I operated on television, using television as a service, changed my career exponentially. Service through medicine, service through art, using whatever it is you produce, your product, as a way of giving back to the world. When you shift the paradigm of whatever it is you choose to do to service and you bring significance to that, success will, I promise you, follow you. Service and significance equals success.
Loving yourself is the most powerful thing we can do. Then everything flows. Everything flows beautifully. And I'm not talking about vanity or arrogance, because that is not love. That's always fear. I'm talking about just really respecting and appreciating this incredible, magnificent being that we are. How to love yourself is to stop all criticism. Just stop it now and forevermore. And make a vow to yourself that you're going to do your very best from now on to stop criticizing, number one, you, and then other people. It'll be a lot easier to stop criticizing other people when you stop criticizing yourself. Now, number two on that list is stop scaring yourself. And here we go into fear. How often do you terrorize yourself with your own thoughts? You get into absolute terror. And it's only coming from your thoughts. Nobody out there is doing a thing. Sometimes it's an old family pattern. Sometimes we get new things. How many people here are absolutely in terror of earthquakes? And how often do you do that to yourself? You know, we find so many ways to scare ourselves. I would like people, when you have time, to make a list of your fears. Make a list of your fears. And then give yourself the opportunity to turn each fear into a positive affirmation. Turn each one into something positive. And remember, always you are in charge. You are always in charge. See, one idle thought doesn't make a whole lot of difference. It's like a, but thoughts are like drops of water. You drop a drop of water on the table here, and it doesn't mean much. But if you keep dropping and keep dropping and keep dropping, you get the table becomes a wash, and then you get a puddle on the floor, and then you can get a little pond and a lake, and finally you can create an ocean. And with our own thoughts, we can drown in a sea of negativity, or we can float on the ocean of life. And it's up to us. The thoughts we think accumulate. And what sort of puddles are you standing in? Or are you up to here? Or are you up to here and trying to paddle? Now, what are you doing to yourself? When we're willing to change our thinking, we can change our experiences. And it doesn't matter if you've got a big puddle of negative thoughts. You know, you can move over here and create a puddle of mindfulness positive thoughts. You can make changes, always. So you want to turn those fear thoughts into positive affirmations. Let them work for you.
As I think about this idea of getting what you really want and being able to attract it into your life, what we have to look at is basically the obstacles that we have conditioned ourselves. And you notice I say that we have conditioned ourselves, because I have never believed that we need to be putting the responsibility on someone else. If you're conditioned, it's because you have allowed yourself to become that. And if we are conditioned, if we conditioned ourselves to believe certain kinds of things, and one of the things that we kind of believe and hang on to and live with is this whole idea that all of the things that happened to me in my past are what are keeping me from doing what I'd like to do today. So we hang on to these things and we fill ourselves with blame. You say, I'm the middle child. I'm the youngest child. I'm the oldest child. I'm an only child. Any one of those is a great excuse. You know, if you're the youngest child, you can say, well, you know, how could I be making decisions for myself and be a fully functioning person today when I always had somebody else telling me what to do my whole life? How could I think for myself? If you're the oldest child, you can simply say to yourself, well, how could I be expected to think for myself? I always had to think for somebody else. I was always doing it for somebody else. And that leaves the middle child, you know, the classic identity crisis. Oh, poor me. My mother didn't even know my name. She's always calling me by this one's name or that one's name. So I don't know where I fit in. So that takes care of everybody except the only child. And of course, the only child, your parents looked at you and said, we won't be doing that again. You have to live with that. I don't. So everybody with their birth order, or with their mother liked their sister better, or that we had enough, or we didn't have enough, or we had too much, or we lived in the north, we lived in the south, I'm too tall, I'm too short, I've got too much hair, I don't have enough hair, it's falling out, it's not falling out, whatever it is, we all have these excuses. And I call all of these things that we hang on to and use to keep ourselves from reaching these higher places in our lives, the wake. I call it the wake. And the wake comes from a story that I heard Alan Watts tell one time, and it was a very powerful story. He said, your life is like a boat, and it's heading up the river at, say, 40 knots. And as it's going, you are somehow able to metaphorically stand on the stern, the back of the boat, and look down into the water. Now, there goes your life in this direction, and you're standing here, and you're looking down into the water. And you ask yourself these three questions. The first question, what is the wake? What is it? What is this thing that you see? And the answer, the wake is the trail that is left behind. That's what it is. Nothing more, nothing less. It's the trail that is left behind. Second question to ask yourself in this little metaphor, what's driving the boat? What's making this thing go in this direction? The answer, the present moment energy that's being generated by the engine. And nothing more. That's the only thing that's making the boat go in this direction. And in this little scene, this means it's the present moment thoughts that I have and how I am using them that is making my life go in this direction, and nothing more. Because the third question is the most important and powerful question. And I've ever since I heard it, I've always thought about this whenever I have a tendency to look back here and blame something. Is it possible for the wake to drive the boat? That is, can a trail that is left behind make a boat go in this direction? And of course, the answer to that is no. It can't. It's just a trail that is left behind. And in that trail, there are an enormous number of things, and every one of us has a wake. And we have a whole lot of stuff in it. And one of the problems that we have is that we have a tendency to look at the wake and all of the stuff that's in it to explain why it is my life isn't working the way I would like it to work.